Going to begin our reading in verse 7 of John chapter 10. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and one thing that you find out about Jesus and the Pharisees is they don't get it. Jesus will be talking, he'll be saying something as just as plain to us as he can, and they just don't get it. And so Jesus has to reiterate something here in verse 7. He says, John 10, verse 7, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Make no mistake about it. You haven't understood so far? Pay attention. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And then here's the verse we're going to focus on today. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is so abundantly clear in what he has to say that those who have ears can understand and understand well. Lord, we pray that we would understand what is before us this day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Howard Hendricks has a very interesting concept of what communication means. I think he's right on target. He says communication actually comes from a Latin word which means common. That is, to communicate to someone, you have to find areas of commonality. And he says usually it's something like common people, common events, common objects your audience is familiar to, with something they can identify with so they can understand what you're saying. In other words, Dr. Hendricks would say that Jesus was the master communicator because Jesus built bridges of commonality between himself and the people to whom he spoke, and he used common objects. Then he would take something common to communicate something profound, something transformational, something that is gospel truth. And we see that here in this particular analogy. Think about it. Profound simplicity. That would describe the way Jesus taught and preached. He takes something simple, a door to a sheepfold. Then he uses the door to highlight something simply profound about his true identity. Now, everybody knows what a door is. Today, we know what a door is. Doors come in as many varieties as Baskin-Robbins has flavors of ice cream. You know, think about it. There's front doors, back doors, side doors, garage doors, hallway doors, room doors, closet doors, barn doors, church doors, screen doors, storm doors, large doors. There's this set of doors at Cape Canaveral vehicle assembly plant that are 460 feet high. Think about that. Doors that are as high are actually 160 feet higher than a football field is long. Give you an idea of how big that is. It's about 45 feet up to there. Huge door. Then you have small doors, like the doors on my Honda Civic. Then there's plain doors, decorated doors, French doors, double doors. In fact, doors are such common objects that they've given rise to other vocations, other products dealing with doors, like door-to-door salesmen, door jams, door knobs, door keepers, door prizes, door stops, door bells, some now with cameras linked to your iPhone. We have next door neighbors, and might be stretching a point here a little bit, but we can go hiking in the great outdoors. There's lots of doors. But when it comes to the function of doors, doors basically have four functions. They permit entry, they permit exit, they prohibit entry, they prohibit exit. That's pretty much it. Doors let people in and out. Doors keep people from going in and out. So when Jesus says here, this statement of self-identity, I am the door, What Jesus is talking about basically is either denying or giving access. And this morning, as we examine this word picture that Jesus uses to describe himself, let's consider today what it is that Jesus gives us access to. Notice in the first place, and most importantly here, Jesus gives us access to God. Access to God. Now, in the place where Jesus lived, everybody knew what a sheepfold was. It's a place usually built adjacent to a house where stones were stacked to make a fenced-in area into which the shepherds could gather their sheep. Sheepfolds came in a variety of sizes and fence heights depending on how large the flock was. But one common characteristic all sheepfolds had was this. Unlike our houses, where there are many doors through which we can enter, back door, side door, garage door. Unlike the physical building we're in this morning, where there's five different doors going out and in, to get into the sheepfold, there was only one door. That's it. One way to access your way into the sheepfold. One door. That's all. Now, in the Bible, the sheepfold sometimes symbolizes the church here on this earth. Also in the Bible, in other places, the sheepfold symbolizes the glory of our heavenly home. In other words, to access real church membership, and not membership to a fake church, to access the future glories of heaven, regardless of what kind of sheep you are, to access that, you know, whether you're a big sheep, a little sheep, a management or labor sheep, sheep with a PhD, a sheep that makes a lot of money, a sheep that barely struggles to get by, a sheep with a lot of woolly friends, or a stray sheep. Whatever kind of sheep you are, there is only one way of access into the sheepfold, one way of true access into the true church, one way of access into your heavenly home, which is heaven. And that access, notice what Jesus is saying. That access is not through religion. That access is not through a ritual. That access is not through being some good moral sheep. The only way to get into the sheepfold is through Jesus. Let's get that clear. Jesus is the door that lets us into the sheepfold. And notice that he doesn't say, notice, look at verse 7 again, or even verse 9. I am, notice the word, the door. Not a door. The door. In Jesus' day, the popular religion was Judaism. In these postmodern times in which we live, the three most popular religions on the face of this earth are Christianity, Islam, and Hinduism. And now, I've noticed on religious surveys, there's a fourth box you can check. You can check, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a spiritual person. Now, here in the United States, at least for now, what we have is something I'm glad we have, and that's this. Equal protection for all religions under the law. In America right now, you cannot get arrested because of what religion you are. But here's the problem. People take the idea of equal protection of all religions, and they take it, and from that, they begin to say, well, that means that all religions are equally valid, equally true. All religions give equal access to God. I actually heard at a funeral not too long ago this house analogy. It's in a liberal church. It says, the house of God has many doors. Think about that. You can come through the front door of Christianity or the side door of Islam, the back door of Hinduism, or even access through the garage door of being a spiritual person. But all those doors, all those doors, this guy said, lead you to God, listen to this, as you have come to know him. That's the postmodern, evangelistic, politically correct message of inclusiveness. You know what Jesus says to that? Baloney. He'll have none of that. He doesn't say, I am a door out of many. I am the door. If you want access to God, there's one way in. Jesus is the only door into the church. He's the only door to heaven. Jesus is the only door to God. Now, when it comes to your relationship status with any door, there's two sides. When you say, you're either on the outside of the door or the inside. Jesus says, if your trust is in me and nothing else, if you're resting in Christ alone, what Jesus has done for you in his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, if Jesus is your prophet and priest and king, if you believe Jesus will return one day to set this world to rights and to bring heaven to earth, if Jesus is your door right here, right now, today, you know what you have? You have more sure access to God than a fisherman has to the reservoir. You have more sure access to God than Donald Trump has to the Oval Office. You have a more sure access to God than a season ticket holder has to a football game at Davis Wade, Vault Hemingway, or The Rock. In other words, if your trust is in Christ, you're an insider. You're on the inside. On the other hand, if you're here this morning and you've decided, you know, one religion's as good as another, I can choose whatever item off the buffet of world religions I want to. If you've decided that being spiritual or religious or moral is all it takes to get you access to God, Jesus would say, friend, you're on the outside. You're out in the cold. You're in a place of spiritual darkness. In other words, Jesus wants to make it very clear. If you're trying to get to God through any door other than Jesus, you'll find behind every door you open, there's nothing but a wall. See, you will not get inside the sheepfold, no access to God, apart from faith and trust in Christ alone. You'll find God as inaccessible to you as heaven is inaccessible to the devil. Friends, think this through for a moment. Don't leave without considering this question. Which side of the door are you on? Are you on the inside or the outside? And what about other people you know? Listen, there are not many doors people can go through to get to God. There's one. Jesus makes that clear. And if there's people you know, and I'm sure there is, who have not gone through the door that is Jesus, you need to warn them through your tears. Friends, you're still on the outside. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. Oh, I can assure you, people won't like to hear what you're saying. There's no one in this room that likes to be told they're wrong, especially in this polluted, politically correct cultural environment in which we're living. But at least people cannot accuse you of not warning them. Hey, that medicine bottle of belief you're drinking from has a skull and crossbones on it. They can't accuse you of not warning them when the room is on fire. Hey, guess what? There's only one exit out of here. You need to make clear to people you know that there is only one door, and that's Jesus. Notice this, that's the first kind of access Jesus gives you, access to God. Notice in the second place, the second kind of access Jesus gives you is that Jesus gives you access to safety. Access to safety. Now, the sheepfold, remember, represents access to God, to the church, to heaven. But it also represents safety, security, shelter, survival. Ask any shepherd and they will tell you sheep are basically defenseless. And in the world outside the sheepfold, there's lions and wolves and jackals and wild dogs and panthers and bears and hyenas, all kind of predators who would love nothing more than to enjoy a nice rack of lamb for supper. In many places, Jesus compares the enemies of Jesus to predatory animals. In Matthew 7, he compares false prophets to ravenous wolves. Peter in 1 Peter 5 compares the devil to a roaring lion stalking about and seeking someone to find for the main course on the Lions Club menu. Spiritually speaking, this fallen world is a very dangerous place to be. So we need a place of spiritual safety. We need a place of protection for our souls. We need a place where we can find spiritual security. And that place, there's a term for it used over 64 times in the New Testament. That place of security is in Christ. The two words that best describe what a Christian is. Someone who is in Christ. You see, in Christ, our souls are safe. Outside of Christ, we're completely exposed to all kinds of spiritual dangers. Let me ask you to think about it this way. You hear a knock on the door. The doorbell rings. Who is it? Is it someone going door to door campaigning for political office? Could it be the Terminex man? Maybe the UPS delivery man? Is it someone making a service call? Is it, we hope, Publisher's Clearinghouse? Or is it a very sketchy-looking person you probably don't want to deal with? You know, sketchy like one of your in-laws, or even sketchier like your pastor. You know, is that person sketchy? Well, one thing's for sure, if you don't open the door, whoever's on the other side of the door does not come in. You see, doors give us access to safety. By keeping our enemies outside the sheepfold. In the gospel, Jesus focuses on the enemy who is for us public enemy number one. He is the devil, and the devil's greatest quest is to try to steal sheep from the sheepfold. The devil has a lot of tricks up his sleeve, a variety of ways to steal sheep. He uses lies and deceit and schemes, subtle attacks, direct attacks, on those who are in the sheepfold, like what he's doing in North Korea and China and Iran. The devil tries. He gets an A for effort. But ultimately, Satan does not succeed. And the reason the devil fails to steal sheep is because of the door. The door is shut. The devil does not have the power. He cannot pry that door open. He doesn't have the... Something interesting, look at chapter 10, verse 1. This is really interesting what Jesus says. Notice what he says and what he doesn't say. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. In other words, those who attempt to climb are robbers because they do not enter through the door. But did you notice what Jesus does not say in the verse? It's really interesting. He does not say, I love this, that the thieves were able to steal one single sheep. Please hear this. No sheep can ever be stolen from Jesus' sheepfold. Never. If you're in Christ, you are forever safe. Look again. I am the door. I am the door. He who goes in this way is safe. How safe? How safe? Look at verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Think about that. You're the sheep. You're in Jesus' hands and in the Father's hands. How much more secure could you possibly be? And to be in the hands of both Jesus and God the Father. If you've entered the sheepfold through the door that is Jesus, if you're in Christ, you're as safe as Noah from the flood when he was in the ark. If you're in Christ, you are as safe as the Israelites were when they put blood on their doorpost. Their faith in the sacrifice pointing to Jesus was what kept Yahweh's sheep safe. And just think, if you're in Christ this morning, you are as safe as people who are already in heaven. If, on the other hand, you have not, through repentance and faith in Christ alone, if you've not exercised that repentance and faith, you're not in the fold. If you're trusting in anyone, anything besides Jesus, you are as unsafe as those left on the Titanic after the lifeboats rolled away. In Christ, you're safe. Outside of Christ, you're exposed. Exposed to spiritual predators, to the devil himself. Outside of Christ, it is guaranteed you will go down in flames. If you're in Christ, the fire will never touch you. Never. See, the door gives us access not only to God, but also to safety. Notice in the third place, the third kind of access Jesus, the door, gives to you is this: to God, to safety. And notice thirdly, that Jesus gives us access to opportunities. Notice what it says here. He will be saved, verse 9, and will go in and out to find pasture. You see, this door that gives us access into the sheepfold also gives us access to those pasture lands that sheep need for growth and development. Please understand this. It's not in the smallness of the church where we find pasture. You notice that? It's not. It's in the expansiveness of the world. You're not going to find pasture here. You're going to find it in the world. See, this world is where God has placed us in His providence. It is the pasture to where we run and stretch our legs and interact with all that's outside this sheep pen. We're penned up this morning, but we leave in just a few minutes. And we're going to go out into a world where our faith will be challenged. It is challenged on the TV. It is challenged in the workplace. It is challenged all the time. As a matter of fact, I would even tell you this morning, if your faith is not being challenged somewhere, you're not growing. You're not. You ever heard of something called resistance training? You know, if I never pick up a weight, and I don't, if I never walk, if I never exercise, I will be soft and I will be flabby. Same with your faith. If your faith is unchallenged, it's a weak faith. You need to pray that your faith would be challenged this week by somebody. Listen, Jesus intends to be the door beneficial to you as the way to God, the place of eternal security, and the door through which Jesus sends you out like lambs to wolves. See, Jesus, think about this. You know why Jesus does that? You know why Jesus sends you out to where the wolves are? Here's why. The wolves need Jesus too. Matter of fact, the wolves don't have Jesus. They need Jesus. They need you to present to them the door, no matter what the dangers are. I want to give you a word picture this morning. I want you to think about this. You ready? Here it is. There's this line, 750,000 miles long. A line 750,000 miles long. This line reaches around the world 30 times. And this line grows 20 miles longer every day. Do you know what that line is? It's a line, it's the line of people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a line of people who are not in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a line of people that long just lined up at the gates of hell. Think about that. See, in the security that comes from being in God's forever sheepfold, you and I are challenged this morning to leave the sheepfold, because God commands us to go into a lost world to witness to the reality of God's grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, after hearing this, you may say, well, so what? Okay, I'll tell you. So what? Here it is. So, go! Witness. And in the best, most positive way, show people the door. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not leave it up to us to decide the way to access to you. But your Son, Jesus Christ, tells us in no uncertain terms, I am the door. Lord, help us to understand that. Help us to witness to that. And Lord, we thank you that when we go through this door and we go into the sheepfold, that no one can touch our souls. Our souls are forever secure and safe, and one day we will be with you forever in heaven. Nobody can steal us. Nothing. Nobody. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to realize you do not intend for us to stay in the sheepfold all the time. We come here to worship. We come here to be fed. We come here to fellowship. But Lord, you send us out among the wolves. The wolves need to hear your gospel. Lord, there's this line, and it's growing longer and longer every day. Unless these people are confronted with the gospel, they will die and go to a Christless grave. Lord, help us in the security we have and the commitment we have to Jesus Christ to take every opportunity this week and every week to witness that there is one way and one door, and that is Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.